city. The history of our church, as I say, is the story really of three locations, three names. The first name was a Baptist temple. That's where we started. We started over the north side of Fort Worth as a Baptist temple. And then later, the church moved. It's Terminal Baptist Church. A lot of people made fun of that name, but we're going to talk about the reason for that name later, all right? And it was Terminal Baptist. That's what it was when I moved here. So I was a six-month-old child. I was a little older than that. But now we're here as First Baptist Church, Haltom City. Three different locations, three different names, but the same body of people, all right? Same body. Every church begins with God's call on a man. God calls a man. God uses men to do his work. And he's always done that. And with us, as our church, that man was this fellow, W.W. Baker. W.W. Baker was a strong preacher of the Word of God. Did not apologize for it, did not cut any corners, and just a strong preacher of the Word of God. And he was the founding pastor of our church, but our story is a little bit different. Our story really begins with Brother Baker being called to pastor this church. And this was Ross Avenue Baptist Church. The building's still there. And we took this picture just a few weeks ago, as a matter of fact. The building's still there. It's no longer a Baptist church. It's a Hispanic work. Brother Baker was called to pastor Ross Avenue Baptist Church. And this was sometime in toward the little past the halfway mark of 1951. And he had been pastor there for about 3 months when trouble erupted, all right? And what the problem was depends on whose side you listen to, all right? It depends on which side you listen to. Now, I have strong suspicions about what the problem was. It's already because, remember what I mentioned to you about Brother Baker? I said he was a real strong preacher of the Word of God. I really think that was the main problem, all right? But the opposition said he was trying to usurp administrative authority that rightfully belonged to the deacons and trustees. And now you said, how did you get that? This event I'm fixing to tell you about made both papers in Fort Worth. It made Star Telegram. It also made the Fort Worth Press. But on December the 2nd, 1951, members met without the pastor being present and voted him out by a pretty good majority. And a little bit later that day, that was a Sunday, when the preacher and some of his supporters arrived at the church, they were barred from entering. They wouldn't let them in. Well, y'all not going to believe this, but people's tempers flared, all right? You'll never believe that people would get excited about something like that. But they did, and tempers flared, and fisticuffs erupted. They had at least a mile Donnybrook, okay? And enough the police were called out. And a squad of six policemen broke it up and asked the leaders and asked them to go downtown, and they would try and work it out and try to sort the whole thing out. So about 50 of them, I'm told, went downtown, and tempers flared again, but they managed to get it squared away. And like I say, the opposition to Brother Baker said, you know, that basically he was trying to exert too much authority. And now here's supporters said this, and this is quoted in the Star Telegram, all right? His supporters said the others just didn't like his hard preaching. One member was quoted as saying, I love this, quote, he hit them up and down the back with the scriptures and they just couldn't take it. He told them how they should live and they didn't like it. So there was a church split, all right? I've told people in the past our church started with a church split, but it was a different kind of church split because Brother Baker was the duly called pastor of that church, and basically they wanted, at least a certain part of that church wanted to get rid of him, and so they did agree to part. And now the question was, what are we going to do? You recognize that lady there, Mrs. Brown? I knew you would, right? The question then was, what are we going to do? There was a need for the supporters of the pastor to meet together and make a decision as to what they wanted to do. So they, this lady right here is Mrs. Lee Welty, all right? Now, the lady standing next to her there is Mrs. W.W. Baker, all right? That's Brother Baker's wife. But so they needed a place to meet, and the way I understand it is she, Ms. Welty, asked her brother if they could meet at his house. Now, he agreed, and it's my understanding that Bill Welty was lost. He wasn't a Christian at the time, and he agreed to let them meet at his house. So they came to this house. Now, this is what it looks like now, all right? It's not what it looked like 70 years ago. But it's still there. It's 2906 Northwest 27th Street. It's over on the northwest side, on the north side of Fort Worth. And so they met together in this house, and that's really where this church was formed. And so they got together, and they decided, we're going to have a church. They don't want you, preacher, but we want you. And so they called, he was their pastor, and they bought this building right here. This was an old store building, and it was located at 2501 Northwest 25th Street. And so they bought this building. The membership went to work to remodel it and eventually enlarge that building. I remember hearing my father-in-law talk about working on this building and working to enlarge it. And so this is where they met. Here's an inside picture. Now, I don't have very many pictures from these days, all right? And if I say anything that's wrong to some old-timer out there, just forgive me, okay? This is the way that I've learned it. But this is the interior of the old Baptist temple, and there's a person or two in here I recognize. I'm pretty sure that right there is Brother James Dunn. Brother Dunn was a member here when we came, and later he became pastor at Timberline Baptist Church, and a pastor there for years. And that, I think, is probably his oldest son, Dave Dunn. And he's definitely a Dunn boy because you can tell by looking at him. That's it. I'm pretty sure that right there, that fellow in the very back, may be Brother E.E. Cooper. And some of you will remember Brother Cooper. Brother Cooper was a great, great godly man and served here in our church for years. I believe that may be Mrs. Langston, or no, that's Mrs. Gray. That's Ms. Gray. She was a member here for a long, long time. And that's where they met as they were in the beginning stages of the church. And so I just another picture from that time. I don't know who any of these people are. They're standing behind the pulpit. Ladies trio looks like singing. And God used them. God used that group of people to found the church that it's lasted to this day. Like I say, I couldn't find a lot of pictures, but I do know some of the people in this picture because that right there is Chuck Worley, and that's Brother Baker, and that's my favorite mother-in-law right there. They were the first couple ever married at Baptist Temple. So, I know them, and that's the last picture I've got from them. But God blessed, and the church grew, and because of that growth, they needed larger facilities. So the church moved from there in about 1962. In about 1962, the church moved to 1800 Terminal Road, and they changed the name of the church to Terminal Baptist Church. And I said a lot of people, I remember going to youth rallies, and they made fun of the name Terminal Baptist because they said it sounded like a disease. But it was called Terminal Baptist. The idea was you go to Terminal when you're going to make a flight and leave. And the idea was they wanted to bring people in, get them ready for that flight to leave this old world and go to heaven. And so that was the reason. Plus, it was located, obviously, on Terminal Road just east of Meacham Field. But that Brother Baker continued to lead the church in growth and in spiritual power. But the day came that he resigned and decided to take a church in Perry, Oklahoma. And after that, after he resigned, the church called Brother B.W. Wallace. And in 50-plus years of being here, I've never been able to find a picture of Brother Wallace. I've asked for one from some of his children and never was able to get one. But he pastored for about 2 years. And then in August of 1967, this guy showed up. And I decided to use this picture because he was an old-time preacher. And that's my dad, Brother M.M. Mosley. And my mother, Brother Bill Powell. I remember we were living in Florida. And I remember when the phone rang and Dad was talking to Bill Powell. And we knew Brother Powell. We'd known him all our lives. And he said, you know, through him, he recommended, Brother Powell was a member of the church at that time, and he recommended that they call Brother Mosley to come out and candidate for the church. So I remember when the phone call came in, and we drove to Fort Worth, and Dad preached, and me and my brother did what kids do. We sat there. And so we drove home to Fort Worth, and my dad, you know, we drove back, and I'll never forget the phone ringing again, and the word was that they'd called my dad to pastor Terminal Baptist Church. Now, you said, how did you kids react? We jumped up and down for joy. I'd always wanted to live in Texas. I figured it was an unjust thing that I was born in Georgia. We moved to Texas, and we arrived August the 15th, 1967, and Dad arrived to become pastor here at what's now First Baptist. And here's a picture of an early anniversary service. I have debated back and forth, but I finally, there's eight candles on that table around the cake that was made. And I've tried to figure out what that was. The best I can tell, there's a possibility it was the eighth anniversary of Terminal Baptist, because it would have been about 1970. And there's, just so you know, there's my dad, there's Brother Bill Powell, there's my brother right there, and there's my mom, and there's Brother Hutton. Brother Gene Hutton was a member of the church at the time. There's Bill Rhodes. Bill Rhodes came out of our church in Florida. He came here to go to Bible college, and he was killed tragically, and he was murdered. This is, I think that's Miss Jewel Langston. Miss Langston was the church, she was our church clerk for years and years and years, just a wonderful, wonderful lady. And so this anniversary service, then I got some pictures of some of the people. This old-fashioned Sunday we had there, and there's numerous folks in that crowd. Here's this right here is Brother and Mrs. Simmons. Brother Simmons was the church janitor. Janitors often don't receive any reward, any recognition. But I'll tell you, old Brother Simmons was a magnificent janitor. I remember going, and the first time I came to Terminal Baptist Churches, you could almost see yourself in the floor because they shine so brightly. This Brother Thedford. Brother Thedford was a member of our church for years. This is Brother Mayo and his wife. And I think this is one of the Lindsay boys. But Brother Mayo here was, he led singing for the church. He taught Sunday school for years. He worked with the young people. He had the terrible job. He took this guy as a teenager, myself as a teenager, to youth camp. He would go and be the counselor for the boys, and he had a wonderful way of dealing with us. I'll never forget, we were at Potago Youth Camp. I'll never forget him saying one night, we were kind of talking after the lights were out, and he quoted a verse of scripture I've never forgotten. It says, he that keepeth at the mouth and tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. And I took that as a hint to shut up. And so we did. And but Brother Mayo was a prince of a man, just a godly man. This is the wrong button, got mashed. That's Miss Martha Sue Blackman, and this is her two daughters, and I think that's her mother. Mrs. Blackman was a Sunday school teacher, and she worked with the young people for years. She took one year we went on a separate retreat. The guys went to Oklahoma, and the girls went somewhere else. Ms. Blackman took the girls and did a fabulous job. She was just a faithful servant, did a good job working with the young people, and she helped me in the years when I first started as the youth director, and so it's good to have them. As the church grew, there arose a need for more space, and so this is a groundbreaking service. The date on the back of this is on March of 1969. And these two men, this is Brother Cooper. He was the deacon for the church for years. This is my father-in-law, Brother Worley. And that's Brother Mayo, my brother. That's Brother Hutton, I think. And Brother Dave Dunn there, Brother Simmons. And this is numerous people there. There's Dwayne Small. And so these people were part of the church. Then we built... broke ground and built more Sunday school classes and put in a fellowship hall there at the church. And so God blessed the work in a wonderful way. Here's some people that labored with us there. This is Mary Shelton. She was an organist for years at the church. This is Mrs. Davis Dunn. She played the piano for us for years and a very faithful, a tremendous pianist. And this fellow right here, he doesn't look like it, but he's the associate pastor, all right? And that's Brother Jack McKinney. And Brother Jack McKinney was a good soul winner. I'll never forget going soul winning with him. He was a good fisher of men, but he also liked to fish for those things right there. And that right there is his fishing guide, Brother Lockaby. Brother Lockaby was a member of our church there, and he took him fishing, and Brother... Jack McKinney, as far as I know, Brother McKinney is still pastoring in Florida, and he worked with us for several years in the church there. Then the growth of the church and change in demographics in that area led the church to relocate to its present facility. But first, I skipped the line. Our bus ministry started at Terminal. Our bus ministry started, and you say, why that picture? Because I wanted you to know what that guy really looked like when he wasn't dressed as a clown. But he, Brother Bobby Buchanan and his wife, that's who's there. And this is Brother Newman. Brother Newman was a bus driver in the first bus we bought. And this was that bus, and we had it for years. It was a 1967 GMC 72 passenger. Five-speed transmission. He said, why do you remember it so much? Because we drove that rascal everywhere, and drove it to Colorado. It was one of the most running machines I've ever seen. It would flat-out run. But Brother Buchanan dressed that day as a clown, and I thought it just fair to show this picture of he and his wife. Brother Buchanan, for those of you that didn't know him, after he'd been at our church a year or so, took the pastorate of Tabernacle Baptist Church in Roanoke. Was there a short while, then was at Wichita Falls. And then he moved to Baton Rouge, take Central Baptist Church, after Brother Smith left the pastorate down there and went into evangelism. So God used those. We've been blessed with some good people through the years in our church. But as I say, growth and change in demographics led to a need for more space and to relocate. So we located here. This was the first church sign that we've had. And many of you say, where'd that church sign come from? Well, it was the first one, all right? And but we moved to First Baptist Church. What we did is we purchased Twin Oaks Baptist Church. The church had actually bought land at the corner of Beach and 820, and we were going to move there. That's now where there's a mobile gas station and the Burger King. Dad was talking to Brother Hill, who pastored Twin Oaks Baptist Church. That was this building here. And Brother Hill said, well, hey, tell you what, I'll sell you my building and we'll move to Keller. And I think Dad said, really? So they began to talk, and that was agreed upon. So we did purchase Twin Oaks Baptist Church, and we added on to the building. We added six classes and a fellowship hall before we moved in. And the first Sunday we was here was Mother's Day of 1975. We moved into this location, and God blessed. The bus ministry, still going strong. It was still moving. At one time, we had four buses and four routes. That's Brother J.J. Minyard a few days ago. And this Brother Pierce, and this is my brother. He was a bus captain on this bus and brought in these young'uns that day. And also one that wasn't all that young. That lady was probably in her 70s when that picture was taken, and she rode the bus to church. And then this van route here was run by Brother Hutton and his wife. They went to Guatemala as missionaries, established church. Still, church is still there. Then because of health reasons, he had to move back to the States. He pastored here, up in Nebraska, had a boys' home in West Virginia, and then he came back and worked with us for a year or two in our Christian school, and this was when he was back in the Christian school, and so he ran this bus route, and this picture here is just several workers that, some current, this brother, somebody here, Brother Marshall, and that right there is Brother DeHoyas, and that's my wife in this picture. There's Brother Brother Hawkins, Brother Roger Hawkins. This is Amanda Autry, and this is Ashley Autry, and this is our longtime bus man. That's Brother Dennis Lockhart, and boy, what a good guy he was. And he rode the bus to church from the time he was 14 until he was in his 50s. And then he worked on, obviously, as an adult, he worked on the bus route. And it's tremendous to me. It blesses my heart every time I think about it. He got where he was. Brother Dennis's elevator didn't go all the way to the top in every way. Brother Dennis was loved by our church, and he always sat right back there. And Brother Marion, he's always at us for smiling and singing. Brother Dennis could, every time you look, he was smiling and singing. And faithful, he had, in the latter years, he bought candy for every kid, made up bags of candy for every child that rode his bus, handed them out. He had crackers for the bus driver, I know, because I had to drive the bus for him a time or two. And if the bus captain was out of town, he would always visit the bus route with the bus captain. And if the bus captain was out of town, Brother Dennis would be calling. He'd call me, Brother Marlon, who's going to take me on my bus route? And I said, okay, Brother Dennis, we'll find somebody. And so don't worry. He didn't let me forget it. And after his good friend died, I became the guy that took him out to eat for his birthday. I think I got volunteered for that by my wife. And so he'd always remind me when his birthday was coming up, hey, where are we going to eat? I said, we'll find somewhere. The first time I went to the place of his choice, that was the last time we ever went there. I said, if I'm going to pay, we're going to eat something good. So Brother Dennis died with a heart attack, and just a great man. We miss him. We sponsor a scholarship at Trinity Baptist Bible College, and it's named the Dennis Lockhart Memorial Scholarship. He's just a good man, good man. Here's a church is all about people. It is all about people. And this is these guys right here all holding plaques because they were recognized that Sunday because of their long work in the bus ministry. Brother Curtis drove the bus, drove a bus, I don't know how many years, 30-plus years, and the only reason he quits because the insurance company said he couldn't. He was too old. Now, he was not old. He wasn't too old to have driven a Dan Dipert bus all over the country, but they wouldn't let him drive the Sunday school bus 2 hours a day on Sunday. But, boy, Brother Curtis, faithful, faithful man. This Brother Barber. Brother Barber was the bus captain for years and years, and I'll never forget when he came. I used to pick up his kids on the bus when I was bus captain, and I'll never forget when he came and said, well, you know, I'll take that bus, and I thought, well, this is going to be something. But I want you to know there were kids all over Diamond Hill that this man was Poppy. That was Poppy to them, and he brought tons of them to church on the bus. This Brother Minyard, Brother Minyard drove bus for us for years and years. This Brother Shelley Harrell, Brother Harrell was a faithful man. He'd do anything in church you ask him to do. He would lead singing. He's the only guy I ever sang, saw led singing with his foot, but he could do it, and I'll explain that later if you want to know. But he led singing. He was the bus captain, visited about bus route. He took Brother Dennis on the route for years, and just a good godly man. And I could point to the pew where I believe he died. He was here one Sunday night, and boy, just collapsed in that pew. But God used him for many, many years. This is he and his wife here. That is Mrs. Ragsdale. This is Brother and Mrs. Fanning. They were members of our church. They were members when we moved here, and for many, many years. Then this is another picture of them. So in this group of men, I don't remember now what we were honoring, but a group is there. I've mentioned some of them. That's Brother Garcia. And so a lot of those men, very faithful men to be in our church. And this is one of the best organists I've ever known. I tell you, Ms. Davis played the organ for us for years and years until her fingers were twisted with arthritis, and but she still played the organ. She used to joke with us. She said, I'm going to have to quit playing because I'm getting shorter and my feet won't reach the pedals. And she sat right on the front edge of the organ stool. And but, boy, she had a style of playing the organ that I loved. And, you know, a lot of people. Now, I'm not discounting my sister-in-law that plays organ now. I appreciate it. But Mrs. Davis had a style unlike any other. And, boy, I just loved to hear her play the organ. And this here is a group of men at a men's cookout that we were on and had a good time that day. This is Brother and Ms. Brackeen and their daughter, Carol. Carol's married to Jesse West. Brother Jesse got saved here at our church, and God called him to preach. He now pastors the Westside Baptist Church in Durant, Oklahoma, and we're proud of him and what he's doing serving God. And y'all may recognize this guy right here. I wanted to put some people in here that were still with us, all right? And but this is Brother Oftedal and his wife and her mother. And, boy, years ago, Brother and Ms. Oftedal moved to Fort Worth. And I remember Brother Oftedal asking me, he said, you know, I'd like to join the church, but I'm a former pastor. Would that make you uncomfortable? And I said, not at all, brother. You would be welcome here. And Brother Oftedal has been as loyal and faithful a member as we could possibly have. And his wife, if I'm not mistaken, passed away 1 year ago today. 1 year ago today. And so we miss her. And then, like I say, his mother-in-law also passed away. God blessed us, all right? There's even more people, all right? So this is a Mother's Day group. Of mothers that were at our church. This right here is Mrs. Powell. Mrs. Powell was our next-door neighbor when we moved to Texas, And her and her husband lived next door to the parsonage there at Terminal Baptist, and got acquainted with her, and it's her fault that I now sing in church. She told my dad one day, she said, "Man, you ought to have Brother Marlon sing." Said, "Man, he's a good singer." And I'm going, "Where in the world she ever hear me sing, you know?" I'm thinking, she doesn't know what she's talking about. But come to find out, I had a bad habit. I had to mow the yard, and when I mowed the yard, I was mowing with a big old Sarlo mower, and I figured, that thing makes enough racket, you know. Well, I'd sing while I was mowing, all right? And, hey, by the way, anybody sounds good accompanied by a mower, all right? So you can just sing away when you're mowing. And but I was mowing the grass, and she would, her kitchen window was right there, and she could hear me singing, I guess. So anyway, that's the story. And this Brother Lineman was a member of our church, my bus captain, and worked the bus ministry here for years. This is a group of ladies at a ladies' mother-daughter banquet, and some of them sitting there. This is Brother Stapleton. Brother Stapleton was a faithful member of our church for years. Brother and Mrs. Barber, and if I'm not mistaken, that right there is Dodie Hodges' mom and dad. That's Brother and Mrs. Carver. This was years ago in a Valentine's banquet we had at church. So these people were faithful to God. One of the things we've had for years is a youth ministry, and you have to deal with hammerheads in the youth ministry, and this is two of them, all right? I cannot for the life of me remember his name, but I remember him. That's Donald Chandler, and this is a bus headed to youth camp, and I think that right there is Billy. That's Brother Minyard's son, Billy Maxwell, and we were on the way to Colorado. This, if you folks here remember Miss Cheryl Fondon that often comes to church, well, this is a picture of her when she was a teenager. She was real, real active in the youth department, her and one of her best friends, Rosa Flores. This is a group of girls at, we went to Silver State Youth Camp in Colorado. And that's a group of the girls there in that picture. And here's some more girls from that time. This is, Tanya Minyard, Brother Minyard's daughter. That's Brother Barber's granddaughter, Mickey. And this lady is in the service this morning, all right? She's visiting with us, so you do recognize yourself, don't you? It's good to have her. And of course, there's my wife. There's the two Stapleton girls, Miss Linda's two daughters, and that's her son, too, in the background. We were down in Houston on a trip, and we were on the Houston Ship Channel, and we had a great time. The youth ministry, I tell you, I fell in love with young people, teenagers. I still love them. Still love to preach to teenagers. I just about as soon preach teenagers as anybody. But in 1976, First Baptist Christian School started. And this is a picture of my dad there on the football field at the school. This was really a vision that he and I shared to start a Christian school. We believed the Christian school was just super important. And I put the picture of these three ladies. This lady right here is Cheryl Fondon's mom, Mrs. Fondon. Mrs. Fondon worked for us the very first year we started First Baptist Christian School. I have thanked her. I told her, I said, "You taught me how to do the job in the school." And very, very, very faithful. Did a tremendous job working with us. And of course, this Mrs. Y'all know this lady, okay? She's sitting in the service. Ms. Brown, she taught for us for years and years. You say, "Well, why is her picture in there?" Well, she was with them too. And plus, she's had three of her kids graduate from our school. And God's blessed our school down through the years. We've had a ton of very successful graduates go out, and many of them serving the Lord in churches all over the country, really. And God bless the Christian school. Mrs. Butts is here, Karenina. She taught for us, too, for a while in our Christian school, and I appreciate that. She's very faithful to do it. Somebody asked me one time, they were looking at school pictures. I think it could have been Danny. You may be the one, Karenina's husband. She said, man, y'all have had a lot of people work for you. And I said, yeah, people can't get along with me very long. So, but we've had a lot of people work, and we thank God for our school. Here's a picture. This, you can tell, is obviously in the early days. I don't hardly recognize that guy anymore, preaching in chapel. If you can't figure out who it is, that's me, all right? This is a group of girls that played a volleyball team, and using them. This is Miss Susie's class she taught kindergarten, still teaches. And this is a group here of the older kiddos, and trying to identify. I think that's my son right there. A lot of those kids, you know, they managed to pass through. Some of them stayed a while. Some of them didn't stay very long. Some of them were here for years and graduated. But then one of the great ministries of our church is missions. God put us here to do a work, to reach people with the gospel. And this is Brother and Mrs. Tarwater. They were with us last year in our mission conference, earlier this year in our missions conference. We took them on as missionaries. And by the way, they just arrived in the Philippines. Just got to the Philippines. It was a trial to be able to get in, but they just got there. And they're excited, and I think God will use them. And I didn't want to tell the story of our church without telling a little bit about missions, because missions is what we're to do, all right? There is a multitude of other pictures, but we only had so much time, all right? And there's tons of them. Hey, there were other pictures that I put in, and for whatever reason, after I put them in, they went totally black, and so I had to take them out. And so some of you that are here would have been in those pictures, all right? So just pretend you saw yourself, all right? Just do that. I even had a picture of Dr. and Mrs. Smith when they came to speak at a youth banquet. It was a sweetheart banquet years ago, and but that one turned black, too, after I put it in. So it's onward to the future, all right? We don't believe God's done with us. I became pastor in 2006 when Dad passed away, and I plan to stay around as long as God will use me here and try my best, my wife and I, to be faithful, to continue to lead the church in the same way it's been going. We're not going to change the doctrine. We're not going to change that a bit. We're going to keep doing our best to serve God, keep doing our best to stand for the Word of God, and to reach people with the gospel. So it is on to the future. And God bless you. Hey, thanks for being here today. I appreciate you coming. And I hope you'll hang around now, all right? Service is not over. This is the first part. We're going to wind up. Got about 10 minutes that you can chat and do that. Those of you who want to take the kiddos out, I'll let you do that before we dismiss everybody or anybody else, okay? So if you want to take them out, that'd be marvelous. Yes, sir. Yeah, all right, there you go. Some of these people say, we don't feel like visitors. We're returnees, all right? We're veterans that have returned. All right, we'll take about 10 minutes. If you think there's any possibility you're going to need to go to the bathroom in the next hour and a half, go now, all right? If you're going to be thirsty, get a drink now, all right? Take care of those things.